welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day 161. How are we all doing? Let me know. Why isn't my shortcut working? In the wrong browser. That'd help. Been one of those days, what can I say? Right, let me get to the chat and see who I'm talking with. Oh, and it needs a refresh as well, but apart from that, hello, Kim. Fixing dinner. Excellent. Jonathan, I am a broken man. The wall is finally stripped. Never am I ever going to buy a place with wallpaper again. It's tough, isn't it, Jonathan? If you've not tried it, you think, oh, how difficult can it be? I bet you're now placed to be thinking, whatever the painter and decorator costs, they're worth every penny. Unless it's the one my poor mother had, Rembrandt. Don't go with that. We need a picture of that stripped wall. We're going to have it framed. Oh, and you found respect for painters. It's a tough job, honestly. It's probably one of the toughest jobs. I've done most jobs. Good evening, Anthony. Electrics, plumbing, bricking, plastering. But yeah, stripping walls. Hideous. You should be grateful it was only one wall. There is that as well. And Jonathan, remember what's worse than stripping a wall? Stripping the ceiling. Don't ever buy a place with wallpaper on the ceiling. It's easier to rip the ceiling out and put a new one in. Just saying. Oh, he's going to get a picture. Fabulous. Can't wait to see it. It was a very distinctive paper. And like I said, we've got friends, two groups of friends who've got the odd wall done like that. Wasn't that particular pattern, but one was very similar. It was where that's like big leaves. This was like a big black flower. So it was even more black, solid blocks than Jonathan's. And another one, I think, was red. You know, and in the right place, it can look fabulous. But, you know, you really do. What this lady had done was she'd matched it with the curtains. So obviously you could tell it'd been really poshly done. But I think you have to be able to carry that. And clearly Jonathan prefers things plain, like me. If there's wallpaper on the wall, it's like, OK, let's paint over that. We've got wallpaper with a pattern on in two locations in the house, and that's it. One is the kitchen, which is paper that's like, I have no idea what I would describe this to people abroad. It's like fake tiles, but not as bad as it sounds. It's washable, you know, so it looks like the pattern on it is like tiles, but it's not like the fake tiles of old. And that I really like, so I would just leave that be. Just keep washing it. And the other place that we have wallpaper with a pattern on is the odd wall in the hall. So as you walk in the house, the kitchen door faces you. And we have a patterned wallpaper there. But other than that, no, it's never happening. Oh, Jonathan, there are some stories. Excuse the awful bedding it's going when you do the soft furnishings. My, 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 Jonathan. What have you done to yourself? 6 months in lockdown and you've become a domestic god. Whoa, that is looking good. That is looking good. I'm impressed with that, Jonathan. Very impressed. Definitely. Look at that ceiling. Perfect. Only needs painting, Jonathan. If you are painting it. Doesn't need any other work doing, does it? No, you've done a good job there. I have seen walls much, much, much worse. In fact, I've faced walls much, much worse. You've done a very, very good job there. Nothing wrong with a dodgy bed. That's not dodgy. I'm loving the Union Jack. Liking that. Oh, dear me. I think you've done a brilliant job. Right, who's come in that I've missed? Deb, CQ, CQ, Deb. How are you doing? That's my thoughts exactly, Kim. My mum used to go with, like, she always liked to be ahead of the trend, never mind on trend. But the problem with it was, 2 years on, you were doing it again. And it's a big job. It's a horrible job, isn't it, Jonathan? Can you now see why my 6 week summer holidays at school were like, all gone? 4 weeks of them were spent doing whatever mum wanted doing in terms of decorating. And the other 2 weeks were, as a child, a holiday. But you know how well they ended. So I actually was grateful to get back to school. Oh, no. You started on the right. The left is near perfect. You got your technique right. You could mist coat the wall. How long you got to do it? Just to cover up the plastery bits. Because if you cover that up first, you'll get a more even finish. The bits where you can see the plaster, if you were to just put white paint on it, you'd probably need 3 or 4 coats, so you've got an even finish. But if you put a mist coat on first, you might get away with 2. So I would definitely do that. But yes, that looks very, very good. I remember Mike's first attempt at it. He started off so gung-ho. It was like, oh, how difficult can this be? You know, I know Elaine said it's a living nightmare, but how difficult can this be? 10 minutes in, he started off with like jogging bottoms on and a T-shirt. In fact, I think it was cold, and he started off with a T-shirt with like a hoodie on as well. 5 minutes in, all that had gone. He was in a pair of shorts. The sweat was dripping off him. And just like Jonathan, he said, never again. A mist coat is where you take some of the paint, separate it from the rest of the paint, Jonathan, in a container that is big enough to get enough paint for the entire wall, and water it down. You'd have to have a look online for what ratio. So usually it's either 1/3 to 2/3 or 50-50 water and paint. It depends on the paint you've got. And you paint that on and it kind of seals it. It'll also give you a go with your brush, won't it? Or your roller. But yeah, just cover that up. And then what will happen is it will seal the plaster, the open plaster. So when you put your proper coat on, it won't just disappear into it. Because if you can imagine, you paint that wall with white paint as it is now, those patches will show through. And that's when you need to put 4 and 5 coats on. My mum would say, I'm doing 2. And like a week later, it's like, I'm just putting that 7th coat on. It's still looking patchy. So put the mist coat on first. It's basically just really, really watered down paint. Somewhere between 1/3 to 2/3 and 50-50. If you wanted to be on the safe side.
That looks more like my kitchen did for about 3 years.
Yes, that's what I was saying to him. Poor Mike was in a bit of a state with it. Yeah, but it, you know, in your defence, yours was like an onion, wasn't it? You peeled off 5 layers of wallpaper. Mm. We had a little street party when he got down to plaster, which was about 6 months into the renovation.
I like the clock, Johnny.
Clock's fab, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm trying to work out what it... Oh, it's got this, the numbers on it, isn't it?
Do you think ice cream will calm my stomach?
Probably not. Might make it worse.
Oh.
It'll be fine. Somebody overindulged last night. Must have been the wine, Mike.
I didn't have wine last night. I on Friday.
Jonathan said, considering I can't go away for the holiday, might as well do something useful. Your future self will thank you, Jonathan. Actually, looking at that wall, you might be able to just get away with mist coating the patches. So kind of go over the patches, let the mist coat just come out. Like a colouring book, colouring outside the lines. But it'll use less paint overall and you'll have a better finish. Wall itself's not in bad condition, though, is it? That's pretty impressive. I think the room's going to look bigger as well. Because when you've got very dark wallpaper, even if it's like darkish flowers or something rather than black like yours was, you get rid of it and it's like, whoa, the room looks much bigger. Which was my mum got rid of all the paper.
We have the obligatory watch charger and then...
Oh, all the tech.
Charging mats.
I'm loving all the tech.
Bedside tables.
And a spare watch strap. Can't say fairer than that. Oh, that's impressive.
Got your priorities right, Johnny.
Yep, see, Jonathan says it feels bigger already. It will. It's, I know it's an optical illusion, but it does.
So when are you doing the rest of the flat?
When he's recovered. He's got a sick note from Pete for the next 6 months. But never mind, we'll probably still be in lockdown by then. Oh, dear. What time did Jonathan hang around till last night on Brooklands? Because you may have missed Mike's party piece, which was fabulous, wasn't it, Kim?
Stick the photos in here.
I could stick the photos in. Hey, but I'm going to put them up on Friday. But I could share with Jonathan, couldn't I? Yes. Are people in macarooned? Why not? Are macarooners? I can definitely do that. I'm going to try cloud up on account of the fact Droplet's been a bit weird. But I've had a bit of a time software wise. Right, let's get that up there. See if that one goes up. Ah, are you going? Come on, let's see if you work as well as Droplet. Or if at all. At all would be good. Right, there's the first one. Oh, for this to have any meaning. Oh, I'm liking that thought. Maybe Jonathan will stay awake longer with bright rooms. In fact, would the bed turn round? Because if the bed faced the wall, we could get a massive monitor for him and he could watch from a prone position. Hmm.
Are you doing your feng shui bit?
Yes. No, your headboard should, feng shui-wise, be against a wall. You should never have it facing outwards to a door. That's just common sense, I would have thought. That is a lovely big room as well. Definitely liking that. Right. You want a wall taking down in the kitchen living room. So won't be decorating that yet. My get a pro considering I spent more time in it. The hallway could possibly get
We're not long after I bought the flat. So single bloke on his own in a flat. 23, 24 years old.
Yeah, that didn't end well with the neighbours, did it? The party you had with the ironing board on the roof of the car.
I wasn't going to mention that. I was going to mention that I got double glazing put in. And the guy came round and he said, do you want more water?
The guy didn't say, do you want more water?
No, the guy said, so you're having the front room done and the kitchen done? I said, yeah. He said, what about the bedroom? I said, no, because I don't spend much time in there. He said, but you're hoping to.
Oh, Mike. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. There is a wall where the old owners had a TV, thinking he might put one back. There you go. Oh, that'd solve a problem, wouldn't it? Liking that. Right, so what happened last night was, the theme was books. So was it me that, I think it was me who picked Prince Charming, wasn't it? There is a book called Prince Charming. So we played Prince Charming by Adam and the Ants. Obviously, when Adam and the Ants were in the charts, Jonathan was minus 18. But I remember it well. And I'm presuming Jonathan's seen pictures of Adam and the Ants, but particularly Adam Ant in Prince Charming. Yes, so I put it on and Mike decided, well, I'll just let you look. That was the first one. Let me get the second one. You may never feel the same way about them again, Jonathan. Just saying. Not once you've seen Mike. Oh, somebody had a rather good night last night. Somebody had a little bottle of wine.
Yeah, that was the night before.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, you're clearly still feeling the effects of it.
I was sober last
night. As he bopped along to that. If you've ever seen the video, the one with Diana Dawes in it, absolute classic. So there was Mike. And yes, before you ask, that was my lipstick he did that with.
Then proceeded to get the lipstick all over my keyboard.
That just shows you.
And no, I wasn't kissing the keyboard. I was wiping my face, touching my face.
That's the thing. Yeah. I was going to say, it shows you how much you touch your face and don't even notice.
Yeah.
Until your fingers are covered with my lipstick.
Then I looked at my fingers and they're purple. And then I looked at my keyboard and I had to turn the keyboard off to wipe it. Because I'd already typed the letter V into the chat because I dropped my iPhone on the keyboard and it had sent the letter V to the chat.
As I pointed out, that could have been much worse. How many wigs has he got? I think you've got three, haven't
three,
you?
Yeah.
Three. He's got his Agneta wig, his Freddy wig, and that's his 80s mullet wig that I bought him not long ago. So he hasn't got.
I'll call it my lockdown wig.
Yes, your lockdown wig.
It looks better than my real hair.
I would say there's more of it, but maybe not. Oh, but it was a classic, that. So it's only the wig that bothered you, Jonathan. The rest of the look was acceptable, was it? He does like to let his hair down, if you pardon the pun, on a Saturday night. So yeah, that one was good, wasn't it? What can I do with him? What can I do with him? But, you know, we have fun. Let's just say we have fun. What on earth's that? And why is it there? Let's just click save on it and be done. Ah, quite a collection. Oh, yes. Yes. I keep thinking he needs a proper one. Because when you get these wigs from, like, fancy dress things, they look fine, you know, from a distance in a photo, but they're not... They're very nylon-y. They're in no way realistic. And given the price that some of them can be, I said you might as well just get a proper wig, you know, that's not all nylon. So I said he needs a blonde one. He needs another blonde wig. Exactly. As long as Mike's happy, that is all that matters, isn't it, Jonathan? And plus the fact everyone in the chat had a rare old laugh over it. It's like, what will Mike get up to this week? The last one was the Pink Freddy outfit, wasn't it? Yeah. We might have to get another one. Because you were torn with the ABBA outfits, weren't you?
Yeah.
And ended up with the... it's got like wide white pants on it. I need an explanation of the lipstick. Was that from when Elaine kissed you on the cheek? No, Kim. When Adam Ant came to the fore, the first album was called Kings of the Wild Frontier. And it was him on the front of it, and he had like a military-style jacket on, and he had a white stripe right across his face. And he used that look from Kings of the Wild Frontier, Ant Music, Stand and Deliver. So for a good 18 months or so, that was the look he went for. But when Prince Charming came out, he totally changed his look. So it was softened down. I mean, knowing what I know now, it was taking it more mainstream. The entire look had been softened down and he was dressed up as Prince Charming. And he, instead of the white stripe across his face, he had two red stripes, exactly the same as Mike had last night. And then the video, I think it started with him singing on a balcony. Then he swung in on a chandelier. And then they did this kind of dance where you like lifted your left arm up and you crossed it with your right arm. And then did vice versa. And every time you did the arm crossing, you took a step forward. So it came from the video. So no, there was no kissing involved. He just nicked my lipstick to put the red stripes on and wandered back into the studio, which was why, as we came out of the song, I was just crying laughing. Because obviously what I was seeing, you guys weren't seeing at that point. Hence me sharing the photo. But the first photo, you can just about see it, you know, if you know you're looking for it. But I said, just turn your head so I can take one and they can see the stripes. So that's exactly what Adam Ant looked like. Have you got a picture of it, Mike, that we could share? Shall I find one?
Yeah.
Right, let's get one. It was Adam Ant, Prince Charming. That was a good video in its day, you know.
Prince Charming.
That's right. Diana Dawes, who died not long after. She had cancer. She died quite young, though. She's only early 50s, I think. That was actually a really sad thing, wasn't it? Because she had a son, and the son was only about 15 when she died. And her husband, Alan, was it Alan Lake? I think her husband was called Alan. I think it was Alan Lake. He couldn't cope without her. He just could not cope without her. And he shot himself and died. So the kid then had no parents. Right, have we got a close-up of Adam with his stripy face? Let's have a look. Must do. There's the one off the front of the album. That'll do. The cover off the album. That's a bit tiny. Have we got a bigger one? That's better. Right, let's upload that. Right, putting it in. Hopefully you can see that. That was what he actually looked like. I forgot the beauty spot. I should have put the... You've got the beauty spot. Oh, it was a heart, wasn't it? Do you know my dad, when he saw him? He struggled with Boy George. But, you know, when he saw Adam Ant, it was like, I give up. In his day, it was all like Bing Crosby and stuff like that. And he couldn't cope. Poor guy. But I liked Adam Ant. As an actual story with that album. That album, you know how albums are released on a certain day? Good night, Jonathan. Take a rest after your exertions. What was I saying? Albums released a certain day. Well, we had a card for a place called Macro. It's still going, I think. It's a bit like Costco. And it's Macro with a K, not a C. Which is a mistake Mike and I always make. But we had a card for there. I think Dad had it via the business. So we would go down there and we would buy stuff. We would buy things like you would buy from Costco now, but Costco wasn't a thing then. So this particular day, we'd gone down there. I think it was like a Wednesday evening. And I was giddy with excitement. And we'd been doing the counting the days down until that album was released. And it was going to be released the following Monday. So albums were usually released on a Monday, so they got a good chance of getting into the charts for the charts the following Sunday. So we goes down on this Wednesday night. No, I'll tell you, it could have been a Tuesday. It was really early anyway. So we gets down there and I said, can I go look at the records? And Dad was like, yeah, yeah, sure, whatever. So I disappeared off to the record department and there was this huge display of like a cardboard cutout of Adamant looking like that in the outfit. And there was lots of covers lying around it and they were stapled to the walls and all kinds of stuff. And it said, like, you know, new release. And I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, Monday, can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. And as I turn around to where they kept the records in the racks, they were actually on sale. And I'm like, they've got to have made a mistake because it's like a huge release, isn't it? And it's only on that day. I know there were wholesalers, but they weren't a specific wholesaler of records. Well, I couldn't quite believe it. So I picked one up and I thought, you know, I don't know, even over taking my pocket money with me, but I had to have this album because nobody else had it. So went back to mum and dad, you've got this album, need this album. I was like, yeah, fine, that's not a problem. And you have it. I think it was £3.89 when albums were a ludicrously cheap price. So I got this thing home. And of course, first thing I did, played the tracks, but I made a tape of it because I would always listen on a tape recorder. But I never wanted to buy the tape because you know what tapes were like for self-destructing. So I made a tape of it for my little tape recorder, took it into school the next day. And I'm thinking, maybe, you know, we got the date wrong. But no, I got in and I said, that Adam and the Ants album, when's it out? And like, Monday. You know, we've been counting it down for weeks. Monday. So I said, And this was lunchtime. So I said, so if I already had a copy, and they were like, no way. So we sat and we listened to it at lunchtime. We played it every day for weeks and weeks. But yeah, I had that almost a week early. And I have no idea. They must have made a mistake. They must have come in and they should have been in the back until a certain day. And they weren't. But yes,
that's what they don't do that with iPhones, isn't it?
Oh, that'd be cool.
Stick in the air.
Mind you, you know, we always say,
they should have been in the back.
Particularly Team Trafford, because they're clueless. But we always say they really don't have a clue what they're doing in the Apple store. We went into the Apple store and it was a couple of years ago and Mike had this watch and this watch was it Android?
Oh, God, I remember. Yeah.
Was it Android?
I think it was Android.
It was difficult to use, but, you know, it did actually work like an iPhone, give or take. It was probably more independent than an iPhone. With an iPhone, you know, you've got to have it on attached to a phone for it to do any good. So, but you know, it did the reminder thing and it did the step count and it did pretty much everything you would want it to do. So we're there looking at the watches because we knew that we knew watches coming out in about 6 weeks. And I said to Mike, well, I'm probably going to be in the market for a new one. You could have mine. So that's where we were at. This blue shirt came over and I always remember at the Apple store, you know, if they had a blue shirt on, they knew what they were talking about. This girl in the blue shirt comes over and says to Mike, hey, you've already got an Apple Watch then? And Mike and I just looked at each other like, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. You should have said, can I part exit for that one?
Oh yeah.
Mr. Trick there, totally Mr. Trick. But yes, that was rather good, wasn't it? So last night went well with the books, didn't it?
It did.
I actually think we had more songs on the theme last night than any other week.
I think you're right.
Which is quite shocking. Very, very shocking. But it was a good night. Now we've got to think of one for next week. So we're pondering. I think Nina and Kath made a couple of suggestions last week, didn't she? I'm not sure if Stuart did. They like the musicals. But I think we've got about six to choose from that are possibles. So if you want to make a suggestion for a theme, let us know. We've probably got, because we actually said, didn't we? We were thinking of like where you'd have to keep a week for a specific theme. So like we did America as a theme on Independence Day. So I said, well, when's the next one? And we've got a week coming up, which is the last night of the proms. So we don't particularly want to compete with that much. But as I was thinking, we were thinking about, and then we're into October. And I said to Mike, you do realise we're 6 weeks off October. In fact, 5 weeks. We're 5 weeks off October, which is terrifying. Because in my head, it's still February. It's just like life's being put on pause. And it's February. And it will be forever February. Can we just write 2020 off and be done?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should. That would work best, wouldn't it? I came up with a classic name for last night's show, by the way. I'm literally just editing it now. And I was looking back, seeing what we chatted about. And I came up with a fabulous title. Doing it DIY dogging style with the wood haze flasher. I'm getting a dirty look off Mike. Well, I thought it was a good title. That's the kind of title Jonathan needs on that wall, isn't
True.
It? I think I'll put paw prints.
We went on there this morning.
Oh, bless a little cotton
socks. There was nobody
socks.
About, that's why I went on there.
We've just been playing in the garden. In fact, have you noticed? She's like, yeah, she'll run round for a bit. And she will have zoomies every now and then. But she will just lie on her back and like, oh, make a fuss of me. Mm. Make a fuss of me. So we've got some video of that, hopefully. Hopefully. Still testing the new camera out.
In 9 days, Kim will have been in the house for 6 months.
Oh, wow. Jonathan did a count, didn't he? That'd be to 180. You're on day 100 and... Don't tell me. 175, aren't you? Yes, 175, I think. Wow. That's just scary.
Well, we had our Catinian meeting the other day. And, because you know, because I disappeared halfway through my room, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was talking about the fact that, you know, a few people have been out the house over the last sort of couple of weeks. But he said, but some people haven't left the house since the 16th of March. That's 158 days. And I thought, I know. Because an hour ago I said, day 158.
Yeah, but they're making out that we're the weird ones.
I thought, John, if you came to Marooned,
you'd know this. Yeah, but they are making
maybe
out that we're
listens,
the weird ones
Maybe
now.
He listens secretly and that's why he knows what day it is.
Just because they've been out of the house and they haven't come down with it doesn't mean that you'd fare so well.
No.
And when you look at the statistics, that map I saw, not a map, a chart that I saw yesterday about Spain was terrifying. I looked and my first thought was, I hope Tracy and her family are okay. It's literally Spain back up in terms of infections where they were in April. All this so people can lie on a beach. What is wrong with these people? We're not the insane ones, they are.
Yeah.
And with the rate going up and up and up, they'll come a cropper at some point. If they'd have been a bit stricter and they'd have gone in a bit faster, I don't think it would be in this kind of mess. And if they hadn't have discharged people from hospitals to make room to take people in and just shove them into care homes when they already had COVID, then all the people in the care homes wouldn't have died. But don't worry, Boris is on his jollies. Boris has gone to Scotland. Scotland are thrilled, doubtless. But he's gone to Scotland and he's camping. Well, actually, he's glamping. That's with a G. Glamping. Glamorous camping. They're staying in like an Airbnb place, but there's a tent in the garden. And when Boris has his picture taken, he's having it taken with the tent as though he's like Davy Crockett or somebody like that. Do you remember that photo that was doing the rounds of Putin and he was topless spearing a fish? I mean, to say it'd been Photoshopped was an understatement. That one, he was all man. Yeah, that's what Boris is doing. But the photo that came out was an absolute classic. It was Boris and Boris's bimbo, wasn't it, as I called her the other day. What did she have? What was she carrying in that picture before I tell them what Boris was carrying?
A sprog, probably.
No, she had a bag or something.
Did she? Yeah.
She had a bag or something. But this, they're very much dressed down. This, of course, is all Dominic Cummings, who's trying to make it more palatable, make Boris's holiday more palatable to the great British public. So they looked, you said he looked like a woman. So I'm going to find the photo of the front of the paper and share it with you guys. And you'll see the kind of rubbish you have to put up with from our press. Let's go to News at Sky and see if I can get the front cover of
the papers. Kieran says thank you.
What's that for?
For me sorting out his Zoom and explaining what the phone numbers were for.
Bless. Oh, I see we've had another COVID issue on the prowl. A policewoman got bitten. You can actually see the teeth marks in her arm. Never, ever, ever, ever any excuse for that. Why don't you leave the paper, the front covers of the papers? There you are. Don't hide them from me. Right, let's have a look at this picky. Please tell me it was on Today's. Oh, it looks like it was. Just need the right one. The Express, no. Independent, no. Oh, surely there's one with a huge picture of them on. Oh, let's take the Sunday Telegraph. That'll do nicely. Because Mike's, yeah, she's got the dog. But when you look at that photo, come on, be honest, guys. That looks like one of his daughters. You know, that the number that he can't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, what is going on?
I've seen what
this?
Anthony says. He's had two blood tests, one hospital appointment, nipped in the office, but not been out of the house since 23rd of March.
Totally understandable.
And I've only been out to walk the dog and one other trip, which can't be mentioned.
Can't it?
No.
Oh, right. Okay. Secrets. Right, let's have a look. I've not been out full stop. Right, let's have a look. I need one. Paul said something and it stopped scrolling. Come back to me. Right. There's Paul. Good evening, Paul. Right. Right, he's there. It's terrifying. Getting closer to the move. We snuck into the new home after marooned and all the drywall's been installed. Oh, that's fantastic. Brilliant. If I had to go out for something, then I guess we're at a stage where you probably could. But if I don't need to, like, say a delivery arrives and there's something missing from it.
Like salted caramel ice cream.
Mike's first thought was, you know, I'll go get some. I'm like, whatever is missing, it's not worth risking your life to get. Whatever it is, just order it again. Like when the batteries went missing, Mike said, Well, I could go and get some. No, it's fine. We'll just wait for another lot to be delivered. Nothing's worth it. So what I put in that with that link is a copy of one of our Sunday papers, the Sunday Telegraph, which is one of the higher end ones. And on the front of it, you can see Boris and Boris's lady with the dog. The girl's got the dog and he's got the baby. But from a distance, Mike said, I thought that was a woman.
Well, it looks like a woman.
But what, I mean, seriously. Do you remember when you used to see pictures, oh, admittedly, from years ago, and it was like Johnson and Lady Bird Johnson, all beautifully turned out. Kennedy and Mrs. Kennedy, beautifully turned out. You know, Margaret Thatcher, never seen without a suit. And that is running the country, allegedly. I mean, really? You could look a little bit better. Putin's there catching fish with a spear and Boris is toting a kid round. You know why they've strapped it to him, don't you? So he doesn't forget he's got one. Like all the others. Crying out loud. No, I'm still not particularly seeing any need to go out. I mean, the time will come. We've got the stone laying thing, haven't we, to think about? Which is... they put a stone on the grave and then you have a bit of a thing about it. And that's scheduled for October. But I still see social distancing in place. I really do. In fact, we're getting a lot of stories saying that the flu season is going to be bad. And that because of that, the knock-on effect will be that the COVID situation will get worse and there will be a huge second peak in the autumn. So I can see that it's going to be over a year. At least Boris keeps his clothes on, for which we are all thankful. She's a lovely looking girl, she is. She actually worked for the party, I believe. But she's since obviously given that up now, and they're engaged. No sign of a wedding yet. Is he divorced yet? Because you can get engaged, you know, if you are still married. I don't know if his divorce is even through yet. That was going on for quite a while, and they just decided not to bother getting divorced. But then as he eyed up the fact he could maybe be prime minister, I think he then G'd the divorce along a bit, but I don't know if that's actually gone through yet. Probably. He was married to that one for quite a while, but there were more before and during and after. So he wasn't exclusive. I can't keep up with him. I've no idea. There was the one he was supposed to have been close to, an American lady, wasn't she? And she had a company. When he was mayor, he was an MP, and then he left. I think he resigned as an MP and he stood as London mayor. And the idea was that London mayor was incredibly unlikely to be a Conservative candidate. Normally, the Labour candidate would win, hands down. And Ken Livingstone had been London mayor since forever. And they figured, I mean, imagine the calibre of people they were thinking of putting up. Do you remember who the first Tory candidate for London mayor was? It didn't end well.
No.
Geoffrey Archer.
Was it?
Oh, no. Yes. Well, he was ready to be nominated and he gave this interview. And I don't know whether he didn't realise, you know, the open microphone situation and the open camera. Mm. I don't know whether he didn't realise, but a comment was passed to the effect of, like, do you think you're a fit person? He completely turned on the interviewer. His whole face became contorted, and the thing was, it was caught on camera. And the question, you know, you could say the question was a bit of a tough question, but it wasn't downright rude or anything. And the response to it, Tories dropped him. So he didn't get a chance. But a lot of candidates then stood and they decided they'd put Boris up. And Boris won, and he was London mayor for 8 years. Are there term limits on any position? Wish we had more term limits. I think with London mayor, it's 4 years, isn't it? Four or eight years rings a bell, because I think he did two terms. So I think it's 4 years. But not everywhere has a mayor. That was brought in under the Labour government in the early 20s, in the noughties, I think. Early 2000s. London has one. Manchester has one. I don't know about Scotland. They have a totally different system. Are there any others?
No idea.
That could actually be it. I'm not sure. Those are the two I'm absolutely certain of. They put this mayoral role into play. And he stood for it. And really, it was so everybody knew who Boris Johnson was, you know, London mayor. And he had the London mayor role, I think it was between 2010 to 2018. Because he was London mayor for the 2012 Olympics. So he got all of the glory off that as well. But I think it's 4 years. That one is a fixed term. Parliaments weren't a fixed term, but you had to call an election within 5 years. But now it is a fixed term, so now it is 5 years. But before, if something had happened, say it's year four of somebody's term, even more than that, so say 4 years and 3 months, you know, and you know you're going to have to go by the five-year mark, you could choose to call an election with 4 weeks' notice. So that worked incredibly well for the Conservative Party in the 80s. Margaret Thatcher came to power in 79, and on the back of the victory in the Falklands, she called an election in 83, when it didn't actually have to be till the middle of 84. And obviously she won and got in. She did the same again, I think it was it 87, the next one? But by the time it got to the 90s, no, that they were then trying to cling on. But basically, if there is something that's happened and you are on a roll with it, that's the time to call the election. So Gordon Brown, he didn't actually win an election. He took over from Tony Blair. Tony Blair had won the election. A few years later, he decided he would hand it over to Gordon Brown. Gordon Brown came to power in the summer. Was it 2009? Could have been 2009, because I'm trying to think when Cameron was in, which must have been 2010. But he took over, and in that summer, so as Parliament recessed for the summer, he took over. And in that summer, it was one calamity after another. And there was a terrorist attack at a Scottish airport that he had to deal with. And there was at least three or four other things. And he didn't do badly with them, shall we say. You know, probably the best that you could in the circumstances. And people were saying he should go for an election. But he didn't want to go for an election because he wanted to be absolutely certain that he would be prime minister for at least a short amount, you know, as long as possible. So he pushed out the date of the election as far as he possibly could, which wasn't the best decision he ever made. Because then in the middle of the election, I think you guys in the States have a phrase, don't you? Is it Dukakis in a tank? It basically, as far as I understand the term, means like, don't do that in a campaign. It was a video photo shoot opportunity, wasn't it? And was it Michael Dukakis was in this tank, and apparently it didn't go down well. It was not a good thing. Well, Gordon Brown's Dukakis in a tank moment was that lady that we talked about.
Yeah.
Was it Helen? Not Helen. You know the one I mean.
The one from Rochdale.
She was fabulous. Mm. She was fabulous. He'd gone round with a meet and greet, meet the people thing. And his microphone was wide open, and he had up Gillian something. And he had a pop at this woman and said, like, that woman, oh, he was really...
Gillian Duffy.
Oh, Gillian Duffy, that's it. She'd actually said to him, this is what we're concerned about. This is what the man on the street in the poor areas is concerned about. And I think it was immigration, which was basically what made Brexit happen. So she was telling him, as it was, this is what people on the ground are worried about. And he was like, and then he got in the car, and with an open microphone he'd forgotten about, called her a bigot. That woman, that bigot. Well, that was his Dukakis in a tank moment. From that point, he stood no chance of winning that election. You could have put a Muppet up against him and the Muppet would have won. And he did. Then David Cameron won, didn't he? Oh, David Cameron had his Dukakis in a tank moment, though, didn't he?
Involved a pig.
This involved a pig.
Back to dogging again.
How did that story come out?
I have no idea.
As I remember the story about David Cameron, it was him in the Bullingdon Club, which is a club at Oxford, that Boris was big in. And it was like public school boys, which obviously over here means private schools. I know that's weird, because public schools in America means public. But here, a public school is a posh private school. It was posh boys from a posh school at Oxford getting themselves into what's basically a fraternity, doing stupid things, which involved this huge meal with a pig's head on a silver platter. But apparently Cameron was, what should we say, doing rather unmentionable things with the pig's head, let's just say that, at a somewhat just lower than the waist level. That's what he was doing with the pig. And these people are running the country. Oh dear. Margaret Thatcher was a very smart cookie. She upset a lot of people, but in terms of representing the country abroad, absolutely she was. She was a chemist. Her mother and father had a shop in, I think it was Grantham, and she'd been taught hard work, and she did work hard. She only slept 4 hours a night. She did work hard, but not everybody agreed with everything she did, let's put it like that. So she was she caused a lot of division just because, you know, if you didn't like her, you didn't like her. And while she was in power, there was was it 2 years miners' strike? It went on over a year. I remember that. So she was a very divisive character, unfortunately. But when she went out and stated the UK's case in Europe, whoa, you wouldn't want to take her on. There was no messing that came after. After she went, unfortunately, everybody they sent over to Brussels just came back with less and less. And that led to Brexit in the long term. Maybe if we'd have had a better argument or somebody better to send, somebody who would have put a stronger case, maybe we wouldn't be where we are now. But unfortunately, we are. So there you go. Those hot mics will always get you. I know, I can't fathom. You know, you're sat there, somebody puts a lavalier microphone on you. Not being funny, but I've seen that done. And they're putting the wires under your clothes. How can you forget it's there? And you treat every microphone as if it's live. I can't tell you the number of times on a Saturday night I check the microphone. And a lot of the time, because I can see how long the song's got, Mike can't. And I spend half the night saying, going in, going in, going in. Oh, Mike's live, Mike's live. Honestly, all night. You get used to it, but how could you forget you're wearing a lavalier? I mean, and at what point were they going to take that off him? Just totally bizarre. But the lady made the most of it. Oh, she did. He picked the wrong one. He picked the wrong one to tangle with, trust me. It went on and on and on for days. And you knew. When Mike came in that night from work, I said, have you seen that video with Gordon Brown? So he sat and watched it and I went, that's Cameron in then. And he went, too, right. There's just no chance. What was Michael Dukakis doing in that tank? Why was it such a moment? We did have pictures in the early 80s of Margaret Thatcher in a tank, in a suit, with a headscarf on. But, you know, she just looked regal. She was like, Margaret Thatcher's in a tank. Yeah, that's quite normal. Was it just that he was... Was it something to do with the fact he was anti-war or something? I couldn't understand why him in a tank per se was so much of an issue. But I saw it in a documentary about American politics and they weren't actually talking about that. They were talking about somebody else's, like something that happened to somebody else that was the turning point. And they said, in a negative way, and they said, oh, it was his Dukakis in a tank moment. And I thought, he's what? So I had to go back and have a look at it. But it didn't really explain what the actual issue was. So he was making an ad in a tank and he thought that was a good idea. But you wonder where he got the tank, doesn't it? He couldn't make this stuff up. You wonder about the advisors. You really, really do. But I did see him in the tank. And yeah, it was amusing. But, you know, these politicians who think it's a good idea to get in a tank, I just wondered if there was anything more significant than that. This is the calibre of people who get in, because the good people, if you've got a brain cell to keep the next one warm, you wouldn't touch it, would you? Somebody said to me, we'll pay you £1 million a year, but you have to be a politician. It was like, no, forget it. I'd rather clean toilets for a living, because they're pretty much one and the same. He did look out of place. He didn't look like... He looked maybe like a little boy. There are certain people, aren't there, that have the look and they can get away with virtually anything. He didn't look right in the tank, but I thought maybe it was inappropriate that he was in a tank because some American soldiers had died in a tank the week before or something, which, you know, I wouldn't put past our politicians here at all. Do you remember when Prince Charles's friend died in a skiing accident? And before you knew it, Charlie was back out skiing again.
Mm.
And, there was a lot said about that. I don't know how true it was, but it was a long time ago. It was when he was still with Diana. And I think it was him, Diana, Fergie, Sarah Ferguson, and a whole posse of his mates had gone to Cloisters skiing. And one of the mates was like an equerry. So they were all there. And Prince Charles wanted to go off-piste on one of the more dangerous runs. And obviously, if he wanted to do it, no one else could say no. And I think it was just the boys that were out at that point. And they went down this run. And that was the end of that. There was an avalanche and this guy got buried alive. And the thing was, his wife hadn't gone on the skiing trip because she was back home expecting their first child and he came back in a box. And I just think, like, you know, would he have done that particular run if Charles hadn't have wanted to do that run? Just absolutely shocking. I can, in my mind, I can see that actually, you know, the coffin coming home and all the royals that were with it and his wife in black, just, she was completely broken. Must be over 30 years ago now. There was an interview with her a couple of years back, and she had the baby. I think it was a girl, obviously never knew her father, and she's since remarried, I think, and had a couple more kids. But what if a politician had got something set up in terms of let's go and do a ski shoot the week after that? Probably not a wise idea. But if it was just the fact he looked out of place. Yeah, that was, it was a long time ago, but it was a shocking thing because you were thinking, how close was Prince Charles to that? Let's have a look if we can find it. Was it Townsend, Major Townsend? No, it was Hugh Lindsay. 1988, and he was only 34. And I do believe it was, let's have a look, Cloisters in Switzerland. Yes, she had a little girl, Alice Rose Linton Lindsay, and that would have been about 88, so she'd be 32. Shocking. I think he was kind of a bodyguard. Yeah, I think he was there in a kind of supportive bodyguard type role. But Charles never really said much about it. It was all very strange. In terms of, you know, you'd be bereft, wouldn't you? You would be totally bereft. But it got brushed under the carpet, shall we say. That was who else went. The Palmer Tomkinsons. You may have heard of...
Tara Palmer Tomkinson.
Now, she's dead as well.
Is she?
Yeah. Isn't she? I think you'll find she is. She was like a... I don't want to say good...
she is.
I don't want to say a good time girl.
A socialite.
A socialite, that's the word. Yeah, socialite. Socialite. Well, it was her mother and father, so she was in sort of Prince Charles's set as well. So there's been lots of deaths around him, if you will, but he's still there. The Duchess of York and the Princess of Wales didn't go. Oh, no, hang on. They did, but they didn't go out on the mountain that day, which was probably just as well. And the pair of them loved skiing. So I don't know why they didn't go out that day, but I remember it being like that was too close a call, and that, you know, he needed to rein in this going off piste malarkey, because obviously somebody died, and it could have been him, it could have been Diana, it could have been one of the royal family. So it got reined in after that, let's put it like that. Meghan Markle has been promoting her election this November. Our papers have been saying, Kim, in relation to that she needs stripping of her Duchess of Sussex title, because it's an unofficial thing with the royal family that you don't get involved in politics. But I thought, well, you know, we've already had that in terms of the wedding was such that Trump should have been invited if it was a head of state going to a wedding, and she wouldn't have it. And I can understand that, you know, she didn't want him there. But then that gave everybody else a bit of an issue. To me, you know, I couldn't understand in the first place when they got together and they got engaged. She had to close down her Instagram account. She had to close down her blog. But to me, it was only lifestyle stuff. It wasn't as though it was something offensive, but she had to close it all down. And she did all that. I must admit, I don't interact with the papers enough on a daily basis to get the feeling of the level of grief she got. To me, I thought she was doing a great job. She was very involved in the Grenfell Tower issue, which was a tower block, and it was council owned. So, do you call that social housing? We would say it's council owned. But it burnt to the ground, basically, and it was all to do with the cladding on the side of it. And I think it was nearly 80, 90 people died. And she was central in putting together a cookbook that went on sale, and then all the profits went to the charity that's supporting the people affected by it. And I thought she was doing a grand job. I really thought it was like going to be really good for the royal family. And then it ends up in this mess. But you don't know what's actually gone on. And I do think sometimes, you know, when the camera pans around and it catches somebody and they don't know they're being watched. Let's just say there were a few members of the royal family that happened with, and I looked at their faces and I thought, you really don't like this lady, do you? Probably because she's so experienced with press and stuff. Obviously that hasn't ended well for them, or not ended well yet for them, But I thought she was doing a great job. I thought she was going to be a breath of fresh air, but it didn't happen like that. And if she wants to do ads to support her point, I really don't have a problem with that. But over here, there is a great big clamour to... Now, what in heaven's name her name would then be? I don't know. I think she should just go back to Meghan Markle and be done with it.
Mm.
But I think it would be something like she... His surname before he got married was Wales, so he'd be Harry Wales. When he was in the army, he would have been whatever his level was, I don't know. But let's say when he started, Private Wales, as was Williams. So when William was flying with the air rescue, he was...
William Wales.
He was William Wales. Went through school as William Wales. But I don't think that's possible after a marriage. So I think maybe it would be that she would... if we're going to take any kind of surname from the other half, would probably be the same as Archie, which is Mountbatten Windsor. And I can't see Meghan going for Meghan Mountbatten Windsor, can you? We'll see how it all pans out. So you don't understand why they left the UK. You could do more good there. I agree with you. Here they're just another Hollywood couple. I totally agree with you. I felt they were doing great here because the thing was, she was going visiting schools. Really following in the footsteps of somebody else. The lady that first came across my radar in terms of doing this, when the royals go and visit schools, it's all the posh schools. But Michelle Obama came over and she just randomly went to one of these schools in a really deprived area, and you should have seen the kids' faces. It was just like, she is my absolute hero. And they were completely mesmerised. And she was wonderful. She was absolutely wonderful with them. And the thing was, the classes that she'd met, this must have been easy 3-4 years ago. I don't think she was First Lady at the time, but not long after. So 3-4 years ago. And the classes that she visited, she spent a lot of time with them. It wasn't just like a 5-minute thing. She was in there for a few hours. And all the classes that she'd met and had a conversation with, they went back the papers about 3 years later and wanted to know how these children that she'd met had fared. And every one of them had got grades beyond the teacher's wildest expectations because she gave them belief in themselves. So when Meghan came over, Meghan did the same thing. She went to visit these schools. And the last one that she did was at the start of the COVID crisis. And I do mean, you know, I'm not talking January, it was March. Their last official engagement was the end of March. They spent, I think, 3 or 4 weeks here. So we're looking at the week of the 6th to the 13th of March, which was 10 days before we were in lockdown. And she'd made an arrangement to go visit this school, and she was giving out some prizes and doing a bit of a talk. The children had no idea at all. So the head teacher came in and said, like, you know, best behaviour, we've got a visitor. And one of these kids said, it's not Meghan Markle, is it? That'd be fab. And, you know, the head teacher said, I'm not saying who it is, but we've got somebody visiting, so behave yourself. So they're all in the assembly. And an assembly at a school like that, somewhere between 1,000 to 2,000 children. They're usually a fairly large assembly. Maybe not all in one room, but in the school, in my school, there would have been 1,000 students. And when you had an assembly, everyone was in the same room. So it was pretty crowded. And they were outside, I think, and her car pulled up and she got out and, you know, there were people fainting because they really respected her. And she went in and she's up on the stage and she's giving out these awards for various things. And the head boy had to do an introduction. So he's like completely just in awe of this woman. And he goes over to her and goes to hug her, and she hugged him back. And I'm like with Mike, whoa, not so much with the hugging, you know, just based on the fact of the COVID situation. But she was so natural. She really was. I thought she was doing a brilliant job. But that's just me. And I don't read the papers, so I wasn't seeing any of the grief. And I think a lot of the grief was probably coming on Twitter. And they're just keyboard warriors, and that can happen anywhere in the world. They're not going to stop doing that because you've decided you're moving to Hollywood. But I don't know. I thought she was doing a grand job, and I thought it would have been nice as well. I thought she was going to be a breath of fresh air, as nice as when Diana joined. Because until Diana joined the royal family, they were all a bit stuffy. But she was funny and lovely. How does one become a head boy? Depends on the school. There's no set criteria. Depends on the school. So it could be someone with the best exam results, or it could be open to a vote. It would then just depend. If it's a vote, it could be an entire school vote, or it could be just like the upper sixth or something, which would be the 16, 17-year-olds. It just depends on the school. It could even be nominated. The head teacher could just decide who head boy is. But they usually make it some kind of competition, just so everybody's, so it seems fair. In my day, we had a form head, a year head, and then the head girl, because mine was a girls' school. I don't remember voting on any of it. So there must have been some other criteria going on. Maybe you had to be good at French, which ruled me right out, didn't it? I don't know. I was never considered for it, let's put it like that. But it's on a per school basis. So could be anything. Could be, in my day, I had somebody in my year, actually in my class, whose mother was a French teacher at the school. That's a bit odd, isn't it? Can you imagine that? Would you fancy that? Because your mum's a teacher. Would you fancy your mum working at the school you were at?
No.
No, exactly. I always did find that a bit weird.
I know a few kids like that. The teachers work at the same school the kids are at.
I think at a primary school, it's less of an issue. But at a high school, particularly when you've got... your friends in your class... Your class, once you get to high school, tends to be split. So in my class, some people were studying German and some were studying Spanish. Now, if they were studying German and Spanish, they were studying French as well. So you were in your class, but you were separated out. So even if you couldn't have your mum or dad as your teacher, but they could be head of another group in your year. And the next, you know... those people were being taught by your mum and dad, and they're in your class. And that, I just think that's a bit weird. At high school, I do. But clearly they don't find it that weird. Who knows? Who knows? Right. Oh, Simon's late. Simon, you're in. You're in. What have you been up to? Was it cooking bread? Was it your baking? You missed Jonathan. And Jonathan had been such a busy boy. Let's find Jonathan's link. Right, I've got Jonathan's link. It's coming your way. Here you go. He has been a very, very busy boy. He's exhausted now. He legged it because the parents rang, not because he fell into a heap. Done a good job there, I think. Hello, Debbie. Oh. Thank you for making the house cleaning more bearable in the humidity. I've been listening, but now I've got to go. Good night to you, Debbie. Simon's been watching the motorbike racing. Oh, wow. Wasn't that the one that you took and you didn't get high def or something? I remember that. Has he taken his Spice Girls posters down? No, that was the wallpaper. Did you see the wallpaper the other day, Simon? It was a case of one scene never forgotten, Jonathan assured us. And do you know what? When we saw it, he wasn't wrong. He was quite right. Let me get you the link to the wallpaper in case you didn't get that. Because it's really Jonathan's before and after. So you've seen the after. There you go. Oh, we've got baby Simon in. Hello, Simon Jr. Playing video games. I should have known. There's the wallpaper, Simon. You might need to lie down after that. It's a bit Salvador Dali-ish, isn't it?
So it's a family thing now.
Yep. All of the Simons.
All the Simons, yeah.
Mrs. Simon and baby Simon.
Welcome along, Simon Jr. Baby Simon.
Can you imagine? But mind you, Jonathan had his back to that wallpaper. That was the only way he was going to sleep, wasn't it? Yeah, that was Jonathan's opinion. And he said the only reason he hadn't approached it earlier was he'd never stripped a wall. Now he's done one, he assures us he's never doing it again. He said if he ever moves and he's looking for somewhere and it's got wallpaper, he's not buying it. It was a bold choice from the previous occupant, wasn't it? But as I said to Jonathan, I can imagine that wallpaper being really expensive. really, really expensive. It's got that kind of look about it. Simon Jr. is she's your daughter, having a right laugh on the sofa. Is this the daughter with the GCSEs? In which case, huge congratulations.
Is your daughter on her own computer or device? Or has she gone up to daddy's device
Nicking
on his,
daddy's
on
probably.
His login?
Like I do with you sometimes.
Do you?
Oh, I do. I do. I'm probably never putting up wallpaper either.
The older one with attitude.
Do you know, I don't actually know, Paul, what is more difficult, taking it down or putting it up. The funniest one with my mum, and she was a perfectionist, and she'd done it for my grandmother for many years. So every time my grandmother wanted to do a room doing, she was old school. She didn't want the walls painting. She wanted paper putting on. So mum was really good. Her stuff was fantastic. You couldn't even see the joins. But the worst one, mum got this wallpaper, and it was called... it's a British thing, this. I can't remember the company. But the wallpaper was called Nova Mura. So that was the brand
the
name.
I remember the ads for that.
It was a big thing on the TV that they were pushing. And it was special paper. Oh, this wasn't just wallpaper. No, no, no. This was special wallpaper. And the idea of it was you pasted it, you put it on the wall. But if you wanted to take it off, instead of having the hideous stripping job like Jonathan's just had, you grabbed the ends and teased it off the wall and you pulled. And the whole thing came off in one piece. So it was going to be fantastic should you ever want to take it off the wall. They also mentioned with it, it was incredibly easy to put up because once it was pasted on the back, it wasn't like paper that would dry out. It was a kind of, there was a definite silicon aspect to this wallpaper. So you could scoot it around once it was on the wall to place it properly. You didn't need to peel it off and then move it and put it back on repeatedly. You could get it almost there and then slide it up and down. So it sounded like, you know, wallpaper for the 21st century. So mum decided she was going out, she's going to get some of this Nova Mura. She found a pattern she liked, which was like a small pinkish flower, and she was putting it in the bedroom. So luckily, she was only doing one wall. She gets this stuff out and she pastes it. She reads the instructions. You put the paste on, put the paste on the wall. And she said it's going to use twice as much paste, but, you know, fair enough, I'll do it. So she pastes the wall and she pastes the paper. She takes the first piece of paper, and this is a woman who has done this job 100 times, gets the paper on the wall. And she got the first piece on and she said, yeah, it's all right. But, you know, I wouldn't say it was anything fantastic. She said, but it feels funny when you're putting it on the wall. So I said, we'll get the next piece up. We'll see how it is. So she does the same the next piece, gets it on the wall. And as she's like doing what they say, which is like moving it, she said, I know what's wrong with it. So I'm looking at it and she says, it's not lined up. The pattern wasn't lined up. She said, but I don't understand that because it is at the top. So we looked at the top of it, bang on perfect. Looked at the bottom, it was out, and it was out by about half an inch. So I said, maybe it's misprinted. And she said, no, now I understand what felt wrong with it. It was because it had this silicone in it, so it slid across the wall. Yeah, it stretched as well. So she spent the rest of the day trying to get the bottom half of this wallpaper, like, scrunched up. So basically unstretch it. She needed to unstretch the paper. By the time she'd finished, she said, I am never touching that again. So some things might be equally as bad as trying to strip a wall. Another time she had a problem with paper. It lined up. The pattern was fine. So she puts this paper on in the hall from the ceiling right down to the bottom. So it was from the loft space on the first floor right down to the foundations because it was on the stairs. And she looked and she said, she's at the top and she's doing it. It's all fine. And as she gets down, she's brushing and brushing and brushing. She gets down to the bottom. She said, this isn't lined up. I said, oh, don't start. I said, it's not that Nova Mura, is it? She said, no, this is proper paper. And she couldn't fathom it. And it turned out to be, it had a match on it, but then the match ran out. And the match ran out because the pieces were so long, it had like a different match at the bottom. So I said, well, what are we going to do with that? We can't piece it in the middle. And she said, well, I think it'd be less noticeable if it didn't totally match at the top. So she had to take it all off again. And then she spent the rest of the month papering the wall from the bottom up, not the top down, which is very difficult. If you can imagine pasting from the top, you put the paper on at the top and you just let it drop and then you brush over the top of it. If you're trying to do that from the bottom, somebody's got to be stood above you holding the paper that can't go on the wall yet because you've not done the bottom bit. Can't you see why my childhood was full of DIY disasters? Oh, kids have it so easy these days. Just imagine spending 6 weeks helping your mother put paper on the wall.
Mm.
Oh, this is why I don't bother. This is what the walls, they're painted, and that's the end of that. Wallpaper, grossly, grossly overrated, I can assure you. Oh, dear. Right, well, Scott, the older one with attitude. Oh. Nothing wrong with that, though, Simon. Oh, the Indy 500's on the TV. No stands in the crowd. Very weird looking. That would just be strange, wouldn't it? And yet people are still watching this stuff. Isn't it the Euro final tonight?
Yeah.
That's on free, I believe.
Is it?
Yep. I think YouTube have got it via BT Sport.
Mm.
Who's playing? Is it Barcelona?
No, they got battered 8-2.
Oh, they did, didn't they? No, I can't remember. I lost interest.
Real Madrid. Bayern Munich and somebody else.
It's not Seville, is it?
No.
No, they were on the other night.
They won the other one.
It'll come to me. I've not had much interest
in... They beat us.
That's right. Sorry.
Yes, that's okay.
Didn't do that deliberately.
No, I'm sure you did.
No, I didn't. I just can't remember. I've got no interest. I can't remember.
Me neither.
But anyway, it's on free if you want to watch it. It was the point I was making. But it is very weird. It feels like a practice session. And then they've got the fake crowds on it, which feel equally just weird. What can you do? They're actually, our fixture lists are out for this season over here, so that's fantastic. Still no sign of when we'll be allowed back into a stadium, though. Could you imagine the whole season with no fans?
Mm.
Because surely somebody could make the claim that if after a few months, you know, the fans weren't allowed back in, that the fans would have made a difference to the outcome of a match because, you know, how teams play better when the crowd's cheering them on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon somebody will probably make that statement, but particularly if they get beaten. Simon really likes the wallpaper. I reckon it wouldn't look bad in a room that's big enough to carry it, but it does kind of, if you shake your head from side
PSG.
To side... PSG, there you
PSG.
Go. You shake your head from side to side, I swear it moves. I think it's a little bit much for a bedroom. Anyway, Jonathan's quite happy because it's gone. And the room is now looking a little bit bigger. And that means, in his mind, he's halfway there to having it finished. And I say in his mind because now he's got the painting to do. But he's taking a break at the moment. So Kim doesn't think they're going to have crowds for the NFL this season. I don't think we're going to have crowds for the football. I think there's certain sports that you could socially distance easier with. I think the cricket could do it because they don't tend to have full houses for the cricket. So they could just block off certain seats. But United have got, is it 60,000, 58,000, 60,000 season ticket holders?
Yeah, something like that.
How do you decide who gets to see each match? You've got more season ticket holders than you can leave spare seats for. So I think it would be fairer to say nobody can go in than half the people can go in. Because as you would have to decide, you know, which half can go in. You could alternate it, but then you've got the issues of some people could make match one, but they didn't get picked. They can't make match two, but they did get picked. It would be too much of a logistical nightmare. It would absolutely be a logistical nightmare. They could do a lottery, but again, you've got practical problems, haven't you, Paul? And there's surrounding issues with it. United have very different kinds of tickets. They have tickets, obviously, you think of a seat in the stand, and there's thousands of those. But they also have tickets that are for executive boxes. There are tickets which include a match day meal and a meet and greet with the players. And Mike and I have been in one of the ones where you get, there's a bar basically in a private area. So it's not quite out with everybody else. It's a bar in a private area. I've never seen anything so crowded. There's no way. If they had How many do you reckon were in that room? About 2,000.
Yeah.
It was crowded, I'm telling you. It was bad. There's no way you could have even 10% of that number. It would still be crowded because you literally could not move. They would have to take the figures down so low. Then there's all of the match day things, like actually getting people in and out of the ground where you're going through turnstiles. How do you sanitise the turnstiles? Then you've got people taking the tickets, although that tends to be a machine these days. Once they get inside, they've got to then go and get a programme. So how are you selling the programmes? Then there's the food and drink that's available. How are you doing that? The whole thing is just the match day itself is so much more than it would have been years ago. It's now so complicated. I just can't see them doing that. I can imagine an entire season without it, which means no income. And for the big clubs, they might be able to survive. I think they'd have to make some kind of change on wages, but they do get income by shirt sales, football sales, sponsorships stuff. But the majority of the money comes from the gate, and there would be no gate. So they'd have to do something about the finance. Big clubs might be able to survive, but the smaller clubs, I don't think they've got any chance at all. So a year without it would be... And there's no saying this will be dealt with it within a year. One of the bods that was doing the press conferences with Boris came out and said it could be 2 years. And, you know, you're thinking back at the beginning, Boris was saying, we'll have this sorted in 12 weeks. It'll be fine. And it's like 6 months and Boris is camping. It's not good. It's definitely not good. So Kim was telling her mum the Indy 500 had such a large stand, they should have the valedictorian and their family from each high school in Indiana come and sit. One family in each section. That'd be brilliant. That'd be brilliant. I guess they could. You'd have to think of doing something. But unfortunately, you know what would work really well? If they hadn't already pre-sold all of the sponsorships in terms of who gets the games. So they've carved up the Premier League and the Football League have carved up the TV rights between a certain number of companies and have raked in the money from that. But that makes it very difficult for a person who wants to watch all the matches, instead of giving Manchester United the money, decide to take on what services they'd need to see these games. Plus the fact, if they did that, then Manchester United don't get any money out of it. So what could have happened, but for the fact they're already in contract like that, is United could have created a virtual season ticket and got money in that way, where they will, you know, all of their games at home will cost you X amount and you can see them via Manchester United have a TV channel, MUTV. So you can watch all the games live, all the home games live on MUTV, and it's going to cost you X amount of money. And what would you pay for that, Mike?
About £5 a month.
I know you're paying that now, but if it included your season ticket for live games, you might have to pay £20 a month.
Yeah.
But I think people would probably do it. Maybe even £50 a month, because that would be your season ticket for this year, wouldn't it? So that would have been a possibility, but not when the TV rights are already sold. So it's a mess, and it's not getting any easier at all. It would be nice to see some people in the stand, wouldn't it? Maybe they'll find some way of doing that. But people are going to be really annoyed, you know, if they start doing it, you know, based on like, let's have all the children from such and such a school in today. And they're like, well, I'm a season ticket holder and I'm not seeing my team. It's going to cause problems. You've seen what people are like already. They can get incredibly cranky over half a loaf. So can you imagine if they can't see their football team? It's not going to end well, isn't this? But all we can do is wait and see what they suggest, because they're going to need money from somewhere at some point, aren't they? But end of another week. What week are we in, Mike? 23, isn't it?
24, isn't it? What's that?
I know. I think we're going into 24 next week. I think so. Let me check. Because I work by week numbers, calendar week numbers. So I can tell you that this week is week 34. But I wouldn't know. I can't remember when we went into it. So it would be last Monday, wouldn't it? Let's have a look. Last Monday the 10th. Oh, no, no, that's the 10th. And we're on, no, that starts 2 weeks ago. So we're at the end of week 23, I do believe. Let's have a look. That would be that one there. Week 23. So we are starting week 24 tomorrow. So like Kim says, once we hit week 26, 6 months in, halfway there, which if you'd have said to us at the beginning, we would never have believed you. But yet, here we are. So in Seattle, the stadium is made to make noise and the fans really make a difference in the game. United have always been criticised for not supporting fans making a noise. The fans want a singing area. What happened was when they ripped the seats out, they kind of ripped the guts out of it. And the seating regulations are so strict. You know, if you were to stand up and say, come on, you'd be told to sit down. You know, so you've got no chance of getting much of a sing song going. I can't remember the last time we sang at Old Trafford, can you?
No.
And yet it was something that you did all the time. It was a real passion thing. So taking the seats, putting the seats in made a big issue. But maybe you could have fake crowds from now on and that solved the problem. Who knows? Who knows? Do you know, I've still got Jonathan's wallpaper on the screen and it's quite mesmerising. Wow, you can stand the entire match. No way. We're not allowed to stand up at all. Which makes a mockery of it, to be honest, that you're sitting at the end of a row, which is where we sit, and people are in and out, in and out, in and out, you know, off to the toilet, off for a drink. And I'm talking like the same person like three or four times in 40 minutes. It's ludicrous. But other than that, you sit down. And if you were to stand up and shout something, even, I mean, obviously, if it was negative, they'd probably take you out of the ground. But even if it was positive, where you're cheering your team on, they would threaten to kick you out. So it'd be sit down or you're out. And there's no second chance. You're out. And, you know, when you're sitting there like that, you're like, I'm not going to make much noise then, am I? And then you've got the manager, Alex Ferguson, had quite a few pops at the crowd saying, you know, we need your support. And you just look at him like, do you want to swap seats, mate? Do you want to know what it feels like to be in here with the security and the police eyeballing you, that if you blink in the wrong place, you'll get thrown out? I remember once my season ticket went missing. This was a classic. Your season ticket comes through the post, but it's blatantly obvious as you look at it what it is. So a number of them go missing. This particular year, mine went missing. So I get onto them and I said, you know, my season ticket's not arrived, but my other half who lives with me, his is here. Give it a couple of days. If not, we'll sort your letter out. So it didn't turn up. And they sent me this letter. And the instructions in the letter were, you need to turn up outside gate number XYZ, something like 2 hours before kickoff. And you need to make yourself known. We will come out and sort you out. And then someone will escort you in. You must bring this letter with you. So I thought, right, fair enough. That's what we'll do then. So Mike and I rock up together at this gate. And there was quite... No, actually, another thing happened, right? Our friend who sat right behind me. So funny that these two tickets both disappeared in the mail. He sat right behind me. We'd spoken on the phone and his ticket hadn't turned up either. So it was like, that's very weird. So he was going to get the same letter I was going to get and follow the instructions. So when we got there, Mike got there with me and I said to Mike, you know, you best go in, because what happened was, yeah, get there 2 hours before kickoff, like 20 minutes before kickoff, we're still stood there and it's getting really crowded. So think Hillsborough, it's getting really crowded. Now, the thing was, it was raining. It's Manchester. It's usually raining, isn't it? But it was raining. That's pertinent because the letter that Manchester United had sent us was printed on an inkjet printer. So by this stage, and there was about 40 people with me whose season tickets hadn't turned up. They all had the letters as well, and it was absolutely chucking it down. And they wanted to check all the letters, which meant you had to get them out and show them to them. And by the time you'd finished, there was no ink on the page. Everything had just run. It looked like Alice Cooper. Luckily, I'd thought to myself, that looks like inkjet. I had a close look. It's inkjet. I put mine in a plastic wallet. Foresight. I'm also looking at it thinking, they're going to need some kind of identification, surely. made sense to me. I thought, take my passport, take my driver's license, and I'll take a credit card, just in case. So we get there. He's checking the letters. And I'd said to this mate, Barry, have you got your passport with you? He said, no, it didn't say you needed a passport. I said, I know it didn't. I said, but I've, you know, brought mine anyway. So the guy checking the letters comes to the front. He says, right, I now need to see your ID. And people went white. You know, bearing in mind, you can't take a bag in Old Trafford. So you can't take too much with you. Like, well, they didn't ask for one, so I'm not taking it. I'm going to need to see ID. So people were dragging out things, you know, like a library ticket and stuff. So I had my letter and it was dry and I had my ID. So I said, he said, I haven't got one. It was too late to go home and get it. It was 20 minutes before kickoff. I said, don't say a word, leave it to me. So the guy came over to check my ID and I said, here's my passport and here's my driving licence and I've got credit cards as well. I said, and this is my dad. I said, so he's with me. And the guy went, right, no problem. And he checked them all and he didn't bother with Barry. Just as well he didn't have a library ticket to his name. So we're then like, right, you've been checked, so you've got to go and stand over on the right-hand side. So I headed over with Barry to the right-hand side, which was where a mounted police officer was on a horse, who promptly said, shift. And I said, we've been told to come over here by that steward. We're waiting to be escorted to our seats. Our season tickets have gone missing. And this copper on the horse said, shift or I'll arrest you. I'm like, well, where the hell am I supposed to go? Because they've just told me to come over here and not move. And Barry and I are just looking at each other like, what are we going to do? By this stage, it was about 10 minutes before kickoff. And these stewards, there was two of them. And they had to individually escort 40 people to their seats. So even though Barry and I sat within 6 inches of each other, he would have had to have taken me to the seat and then gone back and then picked up Barry and then taken Barry in. There were 40 people and it was 10 minutes before kickoff. And in the meanwhile, I was almost about to be arrested because if I didn't move, he was going to arrest me. At which point, fate shone upon us, the pair of us. Mike had gone in. I'd said to Mike, get out of the way, just go in or you'll be stuck. So Mike had gone in. We knew the steward who looked after our block of seats. So he said, where's Elaine? So Mike said, outside, no season ticket, filled him in on the story. He said, and she's got Barry with her. So this steward said, they're going to bring her in. So Mike said, yeah, eventually, but you know, there's quite a queue out there and it's getting a bit naughty. So the steward said, I'll go get them. So he came out and obviously being a steward with all the lanyards and stuff with the cards on, he comes out, finds us stuck between the steward saying don't move and the copper saying if you don't move, I'll arrest you and said, oh, never mind, just come with me. And he took the two of us in. So we did actually get in before kickoff. But this is the kind of farce. So sometimes when it's like a wet Wednesday, you think, do you know what? I can't be bothered. I can't go through that again. That was what it was like then. Can you imagine with COVID added into the mix? Drink Lou. Oh, yes, Simon. Yeah, that happened. The worst occasion for that was the last time we were in this exec suite thing. And do you remember the guy in front? He must have gone out about five times. And every time he did, United scored. So it was like, can you get that guy out again? Yeah, he came out. Every time he went out, they scored. It was fabulous. So I didn't mind him going out. But yeah. Who is it that has all the horns I hear at some games? Or is that in the US? We're not allowed to take stuff like that in, Kim. You can't take anything in now. You are allowed to take in a phone, but not an iPhone Plus. It's got to be a small phone, small with a screen smaller. I think it's 5.2 inches. No iPads, no electronics. You can take what's in your pocket unless it's an item you're not allowed. So you are not allowed things like, you're not allowed radios. You're not allowed an MP3 player. You are allowed one set of in-ear headphones, but nothing else. You're not allowed an umbrella. Oh, trust me, there's stuff. The stuff that's on this list, you're not allowed. You can't take in food, drink, anything like that. And a lady with a bag or a gent with a bag can only take a bag in that is smaller than 6 inches. 6 inches by 4.5, I think. And that came in as part of the security thing. We did put that on the show, didn't we? The bag crash. Yeah. They set up a bag crash. and it was free. So you dropped your bag off and you got like a cloakroom ticket and you picked it up at the end of the game. And last season, they upped the price from free, because, hey, we're providing you with a service, to £5 a bag per match. So if you were going to, how many matches a year? 20? 20?
19.
Yeah, plus your cup games. Call it 25. Then you're looking at £125 to look after your bag. And they didn't tell you that before you actually got there. So it's not actually much fun going anymore, to be honest then. No Lola Cam. I must admit, Paul, when I go, I do take my iPhone Plus with me. And no one's actually taken it off me. I think they accept like a phone, even though there is a limit on the size of the screen. So I do take one phone in with me. I don't bother with a bag. There's no point. Really is no point. If it won't go in my pocket, then I'm not taking it. But the thing with that is, you know, you've got to think about things like house keys, car keys. Where are you supposed to put them? And then there's the thing, of course, of being checked on the way in. And that was interesting last time. As you all know, I don't wear jeans, trousers, jumpsuits, shorts, anything else. It's a skirt. You've got to be frisked on the way in. You have actually got to have the laying on of hands on you on the way in. They will waft like a magnetic thing at you, like an airport. But there has to be a patting down. So obviously it has to be a lady who pats a lady down and a gent who pats a gent down. There was about 8 entrances and one was for the ladies. But all of the ladies in the queue in front of me were wearing jeans. And I'm watching them being patted down and I'm getting increasingly, I don't like people anywhere near me. And I'm getting increasingly concerned because I'm thinking, how the hell is she going to pat my legs down? I've got a skirt on. And I'm just watching this happen. And Mike's in the queue next to me and he's as white as a sheet with like, if she touches Elaine, she's going to be arrested. Just watching it happen. And I went in front of her and she stopped dead and she looked. And I don't think she'd ever dealt with anybody with a skirt before. And she decided she would just leave well alone. But, you know, honestly, from a security perspective, you need to do that. But from a COVID perspective, the 2 metre rule, yeah, that's not going to work, is it? And the other thing they do, so they've run the electronic thing all over you. I have to tell them about my teeth just in case that sets it off. They've done the frisking off you and then they bring the sniffer dogs up just in case you've got any drugs. So there are 3 passes before you can even get through the door. You wonder why I'd just watch it on the TV. It would be easier. It's horrible. You feel like a criminal. And plus the fact I really do not like people touching me that I don't know. Whoever you are, I do not want you touching me. And that was before COVID. But now it would be impossible to get anybody in a stadium. You just couldn't do it. What happened here? 20 or so years ago, you watched Short and Kasparov. 90 minutes on the TV, no moves, went to the loo. Caught back 40 moves had happened in 3 minutes. Game was over. Simon, at least you brought it to a conclusion for everybody else. And you'd seen all the tactics. You only saw the opening 10 moves. Must have heard you'd gone, Simon. Classic, absolute classic. Right, well, we better head off and get ourselves sorted out for the week, hadn't we? Mm. Busy old week. But we will be back with you tomorrow for the start of week 24 of Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Good night to you all. As you can hear, I've got a bit of a throat there as well. But as I say, we will be back tomorrow. But it's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.